Hello and welcome back to Equity Tutors. Today's lesson, we are going to continue on with the genetics module and we are going to build on some of the stuff that you learned last week with Amelia. So today we're going to go over some extra things such as linkage, dihybrid inheritance, the probability of inheritance and test crosses. So we're going to kind of expand on what you learned last week and understand a bit more and have a bit more practice with working out those probabilities of inheriting certain alleles from your parents. So last lesson with Amelia, you discussed monohybrid crosses, and this is where there is one gene with two alleles and you are then working out what the offspring of those two individuals will result in. So you can have, okay, so let's just go over a quick example of that and let's talk about a gene for eye colour. So with eye colour, we can talk about an allele for blue eyes and an allele for brown eyes. Now the brown eye colour is a dominant allele, so if there is a brown eye allele present, then the person will have brown eyes. The blue eye allele is recessive, so there must be two of these alleles in order for a person to have blue eyes. So if the mother has blue eyes, that means she must have two recessive blue eye alleles. And then the father has brown eyes, but this is due to having a brown eye allele and a recessive blue eye allele. So for the mother, she can only give a blue eye allele, which means that any gamete she produces will have the blue eye allele. But the father can either give a brown eye allele or a blue eye allele. So the offspring of this match will be either, there are four options. It could be brown eye, blue eye, or blue eye, and blue eye, blue eye. So the offspring that have brown eye, blue eye alleles will have brown eyes because brown is the dominant allele. And then with the two offspring that have blue eyes, they will have two blue eye alleles because they're recessive, so there needs to be two of them to actually make the offspring express the blue eyes. So that's what we call a monohybrid cross. And today we're going to go on to investigate some different kinds of crosses that are a bit more complex. So one thing that was spoken about last week, as I just mentioned, was that you can have dominant or recessive alleles of a gene. But there is actually another thing that can happen, which is called codominance. So with codominance, both alleles are expressed in the phenotype at the same time. So unlike with the dominant and the recessive, where it's either one thing or another, with codominance, you can get something in between that is made from both the alleles being expressed. So when an individual is heterozygous, they will express both alleles in their phenotype. And when we write the genotype of these characteristics that have codominance, we write the gene symbol as a capital letter, and the alleles are represented by a superscript letter which goes above it. So for example, if we are talking about blood type, we would have I as the symbol for the gene, and then the genotype, we would write a small a to the side of it to symbolize blood group type A, or if it was blood type B, we would write a small b at the top. So this is important because we are going to go on to talk about blood type and how this is a codominant trait. So we've probably all heard about blood type, and there are four blood types that you can have. You can have blood type A, blood type B, blood type AB, or blood type O. So there are different genotypes that can result in these phenotypes. So like I said, with blood type, this is coded for by codominant alleles. So for blood type A, you can either have two blood type A alleles or a blood type A and a blood type O allele. So the O is recessive, so as long as there is an A present, you will be type A if you're either AA or AO. The same applies with blood type B, so you can have two B alleles or a B and an O allele. If you have the O allele, then that is recessive and the B will be expressed. You can then also be blood type O, which is where you have these two O alleles. The fourth type of blood you can have is AB. So this is where you have allele A and allele B, and these are codominant, so they are both expressed. It's not where one of them is dominant, so it's not like it's AB and only A is expressed. No, in this case, you have type AB, and that's because they are codominant. So I know that sounds quite confusing, but you need to try and get your head around what dominant, recessive, and codominant mean. So dominant is if one of those alleles is present, then it will override the phenotype. Recessive is that it must have two of those alleles to be expressed. And codominant means that two alleles can be expressed in the phenotype at the same time. So an example of this is in blood type. So last week you spoke about monohybrid crosses and you were talking about one gene being inherited at a time. But we are going to learn today that there is a thing called linkage where some genes can be inherited together. So the expression of one gene can affect the expression of another and they can be brought in together. So if you go back to a lesson very long ago in last year's modules, you'll remember we went over meiosis, and during meiosis you get recombination. And that's where bits of different chromosomes within the parent swap positions, and this creates genetic diversity. So if that doesn't ring any bells, do go back and watch those lessons so that you fully understand that before you come back and try and work out what's going on today, because that's going to be very important when we're talking about linkage. So there's two kinds of linkage that we can talk about. We can talk about sexual linkage and autosomal linkage. Now, autosomal linkage just means linkage on chromosomes that aren't the X or Y chromosomes. So let's first talk about sex linkage. So sex linkage is where the gene that we're talking about is expressed on the sex chromosomes. And there are two sex chromosomes, there's X and there's Y, and females have two copies of the X chromosome and males have an X chromosome and a Y chromosome. So some chromosomes are found on the region of the sex chromosomes that's not present on the other sex chromosome. So something might be present on the X that isn't present on the Y. And most of these genes are on the X chromosome, as that is the larger chromosome. So if you look at the diagram, you can see that of all the chromosomes, the Y chromosome is a lot smaller than the X chromosome. So if the gene for a characteristic is present on the sex chromosome that is not present on the other sex chromosome, then the inheritance of these genes depends on the sex of the individual. So I know this sounds a bit confusing, so I'm just going to try and explain this with an example, which is hemophilia. So hemophilia is an example of a sex-linked disease, and it is a disease that causes a lack of blood clotting, and it can cause people to die because they cannot stop bleeding. So again, just to know how we're writing these things, when we're talking about a sex-linked gene, we write the alleles as superscript next to the sex chromosome. So if it's an allele related to the X chromosome, then you would write X and then the allele next to it with superscript, and then you would write the Y with nothing if there is nothing present on the Y chromosome, or the X with a small g above it if it has the recessive version of that gene. So if we're talking about hemophilia, hemophilia is a sex-linked disease. So the gene that encodes for this disease is present on the X chromosome. So the way that this works is, we're going to go through an example here so that you can try and understand what's going on. So in the case of hemophilia, the allele is recessive. So If you have a mother who is heterozygous, she would be a carrier. So she has one of the dominant alleles and one of the recessive alleles. So as a female, you need two of the recessive alleles to actually have hemophilia. So in this case, the father does not have hemophilia. So that means that he has an X chromosome that does not have the recessive hemophilia allele on it. And then he also has a Y chromosome, which doesn't have the gene on it. So if they are to have children, they could have a son without hemophilia, a daughter without hemophilia, a daughter without hemophilia who is a carrier, or a son with hemophilia. And I'm now going to go through exactly how that can happen. So they could have a son without hemophilia if the father gives his Y chromosome. He has to give his Y, because the Y chromosome to make the offspring a male can only come from the father. So he gives the Y chromosome. The mother can either give the X chromosome with the dominant allele or with the recessive allele. So if they have a son without hemophilia, that means that the father has given his Y chromosome and the mother has given her X chromosome that has the dominant allele on it. So they have not got the disease. They can then have a daughter, and in the case of a daughter, they would have two X chromosomes. So that means that the father would pass on his X chromosome, which has nothing on it. Then he has the mother, who has passed on her dominant allele, and so this daughter does not have hemophilia, and is homozygous, and is not a carrier. They can also have a daughter who is heterozygous and a carrier. So in that case, the father will have passed on his X chromosome that does not have the hemophilia allele. It has the dominant allele. And then the mother would have passed on her X chromosome that does have the hemophilia allele. So in this case, because it's recessive, as the father has passed on the one that doesn't have the hemophilia allele, this child would be heterozygous and they would be what we call a carrier. So they carry the alleles, but they do not exhibit the disease. And then finally, we can have a son with hemophilia. Now, this would happen if the father passed on his Y chromosome, because to make the offspring a male, they have to have got the Y chromosome from their father. So he's received the Y chromosome from his father, and then he has received the recessive allele from his mother on the X chromosome. And because there is nothing on the Y chromosome that dominates, this person will have hemophilia. So in this case, hemophilia is an X-linked disease because it's passed on in the X chromosome. And when you have a male, because they don't have another X chromosome, even if they only have one X chromosome that has the recessive allele, they will express the disease. Whereas if her daughter has just one X chromosome with a recessive gene, she can still be a carrier and not have the disease, because she will have got a second X chromosome, which could be the dominant version, which means that she won't actually have hemophilia. That is really confusing, I know, but just try and go over this and get that into your head, because this is a really important concept for your exams. So the important thing to know here is that in this case, males cannot be a carrier. They either have the disease or they don't have the disease. Because if they have the X chromosome that has the recessive allele on it, they will exhibit the disease, because there is nothing on the Y chromosome to counteract it or to dominate over it. So even though it's recessive, they don't need two copies of it, because they don't have an extra copy on the Y chromosome. So the other thing we can talk about is autosomal linkage. And this happens in non-sex chromosomes. And this is where genes on the same chromosome that are very close to each other might not undergo crossing over, and they are likely to stay together during the assortment during meiosis. So in this case, the genes stay together and are then inherited together from the parent. So for example, you could have eye colour and height on one chromosome, and it's likely that if you inherit your brown eyes from your mum, you're also inheriting her shortness as well. So it's things like that, and that is what autosomal linkage is. So now that we've gone through linkage and also through codominance, let's talk about dihybrid crosses and how we can draw these Punnett squares for these types of inheritance. So last week you looked at monohybrid crosses, and that is how the alleles of one gene transfer across generations. But today we're going to be looking at how the alleles of two genes can transfer across generations. So this is very similar to the last one, but there are more genotypes and phenotypes that can be produced, and you have to be a bit more careful with what you're writing out to make sure that you get everything correct with these. So to try and understand this, we're going to go through an example, and we're going to talk about a plant, and we're going to talk about two genes. We're going to talk about the seed shape and the seed colour. So we can have a seed shape of round or wrinkled. So round is the dominant, which will be capital R, and wrinkled will be a small r, which is recessive. And then we have seed colour. So capital Y is going to be yellow, and the recessive small y will be green. So when we look at the Punnett square of what's going to be the probabilities of these offspring, we can think about two plants, and they're going to have the same genotype. So they're both going to be round yellow seeds. So they're going to have a dominant R and a recessive R, and then a dominant Y and a recessive Y. So that means that both of the parents will have round yellow seeds because they have the dominant yellow colour and they have the allele for the dominant round shape. What we can do is to split up what each of these parents can give to their child. So this is where this can get a bit confusing, so you really need to break this down carefully. From one parent, they could get a dominant R and a recessive Y. They could get a dominant R and a dominant Y. Or they could get a recessive R and a dominant Y, and a recessive R and a recessive Y. So what I would recommend to work out what they can get for each thing is to take the first part of, so you split up the two parts, so you've got the alleles for the seed shape and the alleles for the seed colour. So you've got capital R and lowercase r. So anything can get one of those. And then another part is the Y. So the offspring could either get a dominant Y or a recessive Y. So what we can do then is that, as in this case, both of the parents have the same genotype, so we put those all around the outside. We then can look, and you're going to see that there are four green seed offspring, and that's because they have two recessive Y alleles, so that makes them green. We also have four seeds that have the wrinkled phenotype, and that's because they have two of the recessive R alleles for seed shape. And then you can see that there can also be a combination. So we have one that is actually green and wrinkled because it has received two recessive alleles of both of the features. So it's got two recessive alleles for the seed shape and two recessive alleles for the seed colour. So we're going to go on later to talk about the ratios, but as you can see here, what we see is we normally see a 9:3:3:1 ratio. So if we have two of the same parents with this mixed, this heterozygous phenotype, then what we have is we get 9 offspring that are the same as the parent. We get 3 that have one of the characteristics, so either wrinkled and yellow or round and green. And then we get 1 that has the two recessive characteristics. So the important thing here as well is to remember that you need to write the two letters for the the two alleles of the gene next to each other. So you have, for example, RRYY. So you don't put RYRY, you put the two R's together and the two Y's together. And that's really important to make sure that you actually write the correct answers in your exam. So there's another thing that we can talk about, which is called epistasis. And this is where the expression of one gene can actually affect the expression of another gene. And this happens when two genes on different chromosomes affect the same feature. So that is another factor that needs to be taken into account when we're trying to determine the phenotype of individuals, because actually it's not just possibly that one gene that is affecting that phenotype, it might be multiple genes. So you don't need to know any exact examples of this, but you do need to know that epistasis can affect the phenotype that you'll see. So it's important to know that that is a factor that can affect what offspring and what phenotype the offspring have. Okay, so now we can go on to talk about test crosses. So test crosses are where we can use the genotype of the offspring to work out what the genotype of a parent is. So what we need in this case is we need a parent with the recessive genotype, and that means that they have two copies of the recessive gene. We can then use the offspring to work out what the parent has. So we know that one parent has the recessive genotype, so that means that they have two of the recessive alleles. So that means they can only pass on a recessive allele to the offspring. So all the offspring must have a recessive allele. Now, if any of the offspring have a dominant phenotype, then that means that there must be a dominant allele present in the second parent. So as long as there are some dominant phenotypes present, that means that one of the alleles that the unknown parent has must be dominant. If every single offspring has the dominant phenotype, then that must mean that the unknown parent is homozygous dominant, because in every case they have given a dominant allele. So that means that they must have two dominant alleles. On the other hand, if the offspring are a mix of dominant and recessive phenotypes, then that means that because there are some dominant phenotypes, that must mean that the unknown parent has at least one dominant allele. But the fact that some of the offspring have the recessive phenotype, that means that there must also be a recessive allele present in that unknown parent in order to combine with the recessive allele from the known parent. So this means that the parent that is unknown must be heterozygous. So the way to remember this, you can work it out like we just went through, but just for your exams, to be very aware that as long as all the offspring have a dominant phenotype, then that means that the parent must be homozygous dominant. And if there is a one-to-one ratio of the dominant and the recessive phenotype, then that means that the unknown parent must be heterozygous and have a dominant and a recessive allele for that gene. Okay, so as I just spoke about, we can use these Punnett squares to work out the offspring of a mating, but we can also know some of the ratios that happen during this breeding. So it's important to remember some of these ratios because it will make your life much easier. So for example, as I just said, if you're doing a monohybrid Punnett square, you will expect this one-to-one ratio if one of the parents is heterozygous and the other is homozygous for a recessive trait, and then if the parent is homozygous for the dominant trait and the other parent is homozygous for the recessive trait, then you will get all the offspring having the dominant phenotype and all of them will have the heterozygous genotype. So What we're going to talk about now is just some of the common ratios seen in dihybrid crosses that you should try and remember so it makes your life easier in the exams. So a common ratio that you will see when you have a dihybrid cross of two heterozygous parents is that you will have 9 offspring that have the phenotype of the parent. You will have 3 that have one of the phenotypes of the parents and the other one not, and the reverse with the other 3. And then you have 1 out of the 16 that will be the opposite to both of the parents, so it will be completely recessive. So it will, in this example with the peas, it will be green and it will be wrinkled. Okay, so I know that was a hell of a lot and it was quite confusing, so do go back over and listen to this lesson again and go back and make sure that last lesson's really solidified in your head before you move on to today's lesson, because we really do build on what you learned with Amelia last week. So just to recap, we went over what codominance is, which is when two alleles can both be expressed at the same time. We talked about linkage, which we have sexual linkage and we have autosomal linkage. And this is where certain genes may come together and are likely to be transferred together to the offspring. We talked about dihybrid inheritance, where we're talking about two different genes being passed on and how we use those with the Punnett square. And then we also talked about test crosses and how we can work out what the unknown parent's genotype is from the phenotype of the children. And then finally, we just went over some common probabilities of inheritance.
Thank you so much for listening. Remember, you can access additional content on our Patreon page by searching for Equity Tutors, where we have a second 30-minute lesson every week, plus monthly bonus content. You can also find us on most social media platforms. We will keep you updated on new content, and you can find us there by searching for Equity Tutors UK. Please like, share, subscribe, and comment wherever you are listening. And if you're enjoying, please leave a review. Bye.
Bye.